Father God, we just praise you. We worship you. I thank you, Lord. You are worthy of it all. I give you all the glory and the honor due your name today. I thank you where two or more gathered in your precious name. You're there in the midst of them. And I thank you that you're here, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Your word says you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You are here. And when we agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us of our Father which is in heaven. And Lord, we stand in agreement tonight. We're here to give you glory. We're here to learn of you. We're here to seek your face, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask you for your anointing that breaks every yoke in the name of Jesus. The word says, many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And there's been a lot of tribulation this week that the pastors have gone through. Paula's mother lost her brother, her uncle, her sister's brother. We've lost two brothers, and I know how that is. It's not easy. You grow up with siblings and you don't realize how important they are in your life, really, the impact they make in your life until they're not there. And when we were praising, worshiping, and telling him he's worthy of it all, the Holy Spirit reminded me of, I was in a little Bible study years ago. I don't even know how many years it's been, so many. It's when I was in Beaumont. And they had this little lady, I don't even remember her name. She was a little grandma, kind of like I am now, I hate to say. But she had a little bun. She had an old-timey house dress on like my mom used to wear when we were growing up. That's all my mom ever wore, the old-timey house dresses that buttoned up the front and it had a belt. And, you know, and that's how that little lady, just a little old grandma, powerful woman of God, anointed, and she was so anointed to, she would teach on the temple and all of that, all those things that, you know, concerning the temple, and she was just so anointed at all that. Well, before the service, she said, you know, I clap a lot, and I don't know if any of you have been around me very often. You say, oh my gosh, that lady claps an awful lot. But if you'll just do me the service and just put your hands together, and I want you to clap before the Lord for his honor. And then I'm going to tell you why. I've never forgotten it. And I tell you, when I get stirred up, I just clap the more. You know, when we're clapping before the Lord and we're praising him and we're glorifying him, it reminds the devil every time that they put that nail, that they hit that nail in his hands, in his feet. It reminds the devil of his defeat. And I get to thinking about that when I'm thinking about who we serve and whose we are. I can't help but clap. I mean, he is worthy to be clapped. And it reminds me that it reminds the devil is I'm the head and I'm above him and not beneath him. But he'll make us try to make us think that we're beneath. He'll try to make you feel like you're beneath. But really, we're the head because of those nail scarred hands and those nail scarred feet. Every time they bang that, it just reminds the devil that Jesus went down there to hell and he fought the devil and he got the keys of hell and death and he holds them in his hands. And because he holds them in his hands, because he lives, I live. Because he lives, I have strength. No matter what comes against me. I tell you, I didn't feel so mighty this week. I was a pitiful mess. I hate to say it, but my body didn't feel too good. But thank God. God got me through it. Many are those tribulations, but he's going to get us through it every time. And we'll be going along and feeling like everything's going along just fine and dandy. And all of a sudden, that devil will hit you in the face and knock you down. He loves to do that. He loves to just make you feel less than. And so I want to talk. There's two people I want to talk about tonight. The first one is Hannah, the little lady that was barren. And I want to talk about David, King David. Now, it's two separate people, but they still, even though it's a woman on one side and it's a man on the other, they're still fighting the same battles. So if anybody has your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1.
I'm sure you've all heard the story about Hannah. Now, there was a certain man of, boy, I'm not going to even try to say that big old long word. It's just of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joam, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of, boy, these names, the Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, the wife that had all of these children, and to all of her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I know it looked bad, it felt bad, it seemed bad, but you know, God had a plan. He always has a plan. And Hannah was sorrowful, and you know, it's in a woman's DNA that to want to bear a child, to, you know, to be married, be a wife, a mother, and to want to bear a child. I mean, that's in our DNA. This Peninnah, it says in the sixth verse, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And this Peninnah, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept. Hannah wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. She was hurting. And you know, throughout the years, it doesn't say how many years that Peninnah, the second wife, taunted her and provoked her. And you know, I'm sure after so long a time, no matter what a sweet person she was, or no matter what kind of good heart she had, I'm sure that things festered on the inside of her, and she probably started to resent that lady for provoking her and making fun of her because her womb was closed and she had no children. And in those days, it was just, I mean, it was a good thing to have houses full of children, and Hannah had none. But she prayed with bitterness in her soul, prayed to the Lord, and she wept sore. And you know, sometimes when you're weeping, sometimes you can be in so much bitterness of soul, or hurting so much, there's not even any words to say how you feel or to cry out to the Lord. I know I've been there, and just crying to God with everything just that's in me, but there is no words to say. But you know what? Jesus interprets those words. He doesn't need words. He knows where you're coming from. He knows your hurt. He knows the amount of hurt you're going through. He sees it all, and he knows, and he cares. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, Hannah's praying to the Lord, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued, that's in the 12th verse, praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. She didn't even have words to say. Her lips are moving before the Lord. She's just talking to the Lord from her heart. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, how long will you be drunken, but put away the wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of law, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And we all know the rest of the story. She had her son, and whenever that son was weaned, she brought him to the house of the Lord. And he was a mighty prophet, Samuel. God had a plan. Now, she went through a lot of hard things. She went through pain and sorrow and being made fun of and ridiculed because she had no children. And when you go in the second verse, as you read down, at least I interpret that way, I think she had about seven more other children. I mean, God didn't stop there giving her Samuel. He just opened up that womb, and boy, she was blessed. But it didn't look so in the natural when she was going through all of that. She was hurting and sorrowful, and she had to put up with this person just making fun of her. I don't know if any of you have been there where someone's making fun of you or ridicule you because of what you're going through, or maybe they don't understand your actions about what you're going through, and it can really get a little irritating sometimes. But God brought her through it. He answered her prayer, and then he didn't stop there but gave her seven other children. That's the God we serve. You know, and that lady, the second wife, always made her feel less than how God created her to be. And that's the devil's job. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to make you feel less than who God called you to be. And we got some mighty women and men of God in this place because God is our Lord, and he lives on the inside of us, and the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us and comforts me and guides me and strengthens me. The God of the whole universe, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. I just know it's so. And no matter what we're going through, he's going to always, though a good man falls seven times, the Lord picks him up every time. I've fell bunches of times. I don't know about anybody else in here, but this old grandma has fallen more than one time. And every time I've fallen, God has picked me up every time. Every time. And he didn't bash me over the head and said, who do you, my goodness, I'm just ashamed of you. Just get out of my presence. Don't even let me look at you. No, he just picked me up and he said, come on. He shook me off, covered me in his blood by faith, and said, come on, Mary. You might have failed right there, but come on. I got a plan. He had a plan for this old grandma's life. He has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. He has a good future for us, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy it. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He has abundant life for us. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if you're not walking with joy unspeakable and full of glory today, you can. And if the devil has knocked you down to where you feel like you're less than, I'm here to tell you tonight, you are not less than, because the God of the whole universe lives on the inside of you, created you, and he's got a mighty plan for your life. The devil's a liar. We might have had some failures or some people that were knocked down, but he picks you up every time, every time. And he makes me stronger. Well, everything he's brought me through, every trial, every fire that he's brought me through, made me stronger and stronger. The lies that the devil used to tell me when I was a young woman and would knock me down to my face, he can't lie to me in those areas. I mean, when God steps in, like Hannah, I mean, she began to pray in the second, you can read the second chapter of 1 Samuel, and she's praising God. She says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. I mean, he puts praise in your mouth where the devil tries to put fear and everything else against us. He puts praise. I mean, he just reaches down there. He takes you out of that pit, puts you on the rock, Jesus Christ, and here we go. He's got a plan for every one of our life. But I'm telling you, I know a God that he makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. And they got some mighty sick people in this town spiritually. They got some people that are going to hell, and hell is forever. And I tell you what, I get stirred up because we don't want to see anybody go to hell forever. Hell is forever, just like heaven is forever. I get so stirred up, we want to bring them with us. We want those people. We can't bring anything to heaven with us but souls. But I can bring many souls with me. I want to get out there in this city, and we want to tell people, you're dying and going to hell. Come on, I know somebody that you can live forever if you just accept what he did for you. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's simple. It's simple. And we can go out there and tell people of his love and his grace and his mercy. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, let me move way over there. Now I'm going to move over and talk about David. I know it's two separate things, but they were both fighting a spiritual battle. Chapter 30, verse 1, if I can find it. I got my notes in the way. Okay. You know, David was called to be a king from a young man. I mean, when Saul disobeyed God, the kingdom was ripped from him right then and there. But he didn't take the kingdom from him, but the true kingdom was ripped from him. The anointing that he had was gone. And when David came up there, Saul hated him because David always had a heart after the Lord. Oh boy, he's having fun. So David had 700 men that were in hiding with him. And two different times the Lord put Saul in David's path, and David could have took his life if he'd have wanted to. The second time that God put Saul into a deep sleep in a cave, David cut off his skirt, the bottom of his skirt, to humiliate him. And then David kind of repented. He felt bad about it. And the man that was with him said, come on, get the spear. Let's kill him. God's put him in your hand. He said, no, I will not touch God's anointing. And you know, it's really important, us as children of God, to watch our mouths. And whenever to really don't speak about a brother or sister unless it's something good and it's of good report. Because when you do, you're speaking against God's anointed. He says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he means just what he says. In the body of Christ, that's why we have to love one another. Do say good things for one another and build each other up. And I know I don't know, as I've been raised up, I've heard a lot of gossip in so-called churches, lots of gossip. And it shouldn't be so. But anyway, so David, he didn't kill him. I mean, he felt bad about even cutting his skirt. You know, and God said, he's a man after my own heart. David had a big old heart, a big heart. In the 30th chapter, all the things that David went through, I mean, he fought that giant as a young boy. That made Saul even furious at him because, I mean, he fought the giant. And the battle, David knew the battle wasn't his, it's the Lord. When he was a real young boy, he was keeping the sheep for his father. Here comes a lion and here comes a bear. He slew him because the Holy Ghost rose up in him. It wasn't David. It was the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him that gave him the strength to fight that bear and to fight that lion and to protect the sheep. So whenever everybody else was hiding, this young lad that had already killed the lion, killed the bear, because the Spirit of the Lord was on the inside of him, he said, who does this uncircumcised Philistine thinks he is to come against the army of the living God? And whether you realize it or not in this place, if you're in Jesus Christ, you are part of the army of the living God. And I know I hate fighting and I hate, you know, and I'd really, in the natural, I'd like to get in a little corner and just be all safe and in my comfort zone and everything. I hate fighting. But we are in a fight. We are in a spiritual battle. And it's time for every one of us, I know me included. And I tell you, this past week, I felt like a failure. I was telling Jamie, I just felt like a failure. I just felt so weak and, oh, just yucky. That's not who God called me to be. Anyway, after all what he did, he killed that giant with a stone out of his path. Can you imagine that? This big, enormous giant and this little young lad, and he takes that stone, and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of that stone and kills that giant right and hit him in the head, and he just falls down dead. It wasn't David's strength that killed that giant. It was the Holy Ghost rising up in him, and it was that mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you and I. It's there. And whatever battles we have, whether it's whatever giant it is, whatever warfare it is, whatever fire it is, you know, there was some young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wouldn't bow to Baal, wouldn't bow, and, you know, they wouldn't bow when they brought that golden whatever, and they wasn't going to bow to it. They got through in that fire, and it was the hottest fire. The people that threw them in got killed. The next morning, that king comes out there, and he looks in that where the fire was, those three young men. He said, I see one, two, three, and I see one is the Son of God. They came out of that fire, and they were not even smelling of smoke. Can you imagine that? Their body didn't even smell of the smoke. That's the God we serve. And that devil tries to push us and niggle us and put all those little fiery darts against us. And this mighty man of valor that had gone to war and won so many battles, he was hiding with his 700 men from Saul, and he went to the land of the enemy. And in the 30th verse, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now David was off, and he was going to go help that other, the king Achish, and left his wives in at that where Achish had allowed them to live. So they're off, and so here comes the Amalekites invaded where his family and the men's families were. They took all of the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, you can imagine their children, their wives. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in his God. There, sometimes you just got to get along with God, and you got to encourage yourself with God. What do you think, in my mind's eye, what do I think David's saying to himself when he's encouraging himself in the Lord? He's thinking about when he fought that lion, he fought that bear. He's thinking about when he fought that giant. He's thinking about when God put Saul in his hands and he could have slew him and he didn't. He's thinking about all the battles that the Lord already brought him through. And he's encouraging himself. We can't live on yesterday's anointing, but we can certainly look back on the things that God has already brought us through to help us to walk in today's anointing, to help us to have hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have hope. We have something to hope for. And no matter what far or what we're going through, we always have hope in our God. And if I'm not going to read the rest of this just for time's sake, but the word says that in the 19th verse of the 30th chapter, David recovered all. And you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard against him. No matter where the devil has pushed you down or made you feel less than, and stole, kill, steal, and destroy from you, the Lord will always, always help you to recover all in his timing. In Psalms 121, if y'all turn there with me, I don't have much more, but I just want to share with you, you know, it's time for Mary Robin to get in her prayer closet just like that war room. I've been thinking about that. It's time to get busy in my war room in my house and start declaring a thing. I was thinking about that today. Instead of giving in to all that junk I went through last week, I should have been on my knees, and I wasn't. I was feeling sorry for myself and everything else because I just wasn't feeling myself. And we all know a poor me spirit's definitely not for the Lord, from the Lord, because one thing Saul would say, is not there anybody that feels sorry for me? Listen. You can get in your pity party and the devil will beat you down and keep beating you down. Don't worry about if anybody out there is feeling sorry for you. But we worry about whose we are and who I can connect with and who I cry out to. In Psalms 121, I still hadn't got there. Okay. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer that foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. Thank God for that. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve that going out and that coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord upholds all that fall and rises up all that be bowed down. In Psalms 107:29, he makes the storm I love that scripture. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. No matter what storm I'm going through or we're going through, the Lord just goes in there and makes it a calm. In Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalms 147:3, I know a lot of times Jamie, before the service, she reads Psalms to us. And I love that because I love Psalms. If I'm going through something and I don't have no answers and I'm feeling yucky, I get in Psalms and I tell you what, lift me up every time. In Psalms 147:3, he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. And that's so true. He has healed my broken heart so many times, and he has bound up my wounds more than one time. Let us hold fast the profession in Hebrews 10:23 of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All these promises in here are yes, yes, amen and amen. So we can stand on his promises for our children, for our families, for our loved ones, for our church family, for Vidor, Texas, the people in this town and beyond. And in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And I love that scripture because no matter what something seems like, I know when my son Craig was a young boy, and if the phone rung, I just shivered because I never knew, was it the police or what? And I prayed and I prayed and I walked the floor. Every time he left my house, I prayed. And I walked that floor till I put my head on that pillow at night. And I'd pray for God to send him home, to put it on his heart to come home. Because I knew if he was home, he was okay. You know, they get to that age, 17 or whatever, and they don't listen to you. But you can't throw them out in the street, or you feel like it, but you know. And I'd pray and pray and pray. And the more I prayed, the more in the natural, it looked like it wasn't going nowhere. It looked like, I told the Lord, I said, you know, God, the more I'm praying in the natural now, I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm just having a conversation. I just said, you know, it looks like in the natural, Lord, the more I'm praying, the worse he's getting. Yeah. But I, your word tells me I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to go by what it feels like. I don't have to go by what it looks like. I just go by what your word says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy household. That's our promise for our children and our families. Thank God. And to remind myself, in 2 Corinthians 10:3 and through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Just like when David fought that giant, he wasn't fighting with a carnal weapon. He was fighting with the Holy Ghost rising up in him and taking that stone and whizzing it to that giant's head. And whatever else we need to cast our stones or whatever, it's the Holy Ghost that does the work. And it's the Holy Ghost that pulls us through. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, that's a big one. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's one I fight with sometimes. Imaginations that comes against my mind. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the walls of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And I tell you, when we're going through something, sometimes that's all you can do. You just stand, trusting, adhering to it, and relying on him and not going by what you see or what you feel. Or thank God we don't have to do that. We just go by what his word tells us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And the word says, I am righteous in Jesus. That's my breastplate I can stand on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I just hope you've been blessed by the word of the Lord tonight. And if anybody's going through something and you feel like you need prayer, agreement prayer, through anything you're going through, come on up here and I'll be in agreement prayer with you. I know the devil loves to knock us down and make us feel less than, but we're not less than. Thank God.